yours only. It's been so long since I found Jesus. Just once again, I long. How oft I cried when far away from you my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad that November 19th, 2002, I got washed in the blood of the Lamb. And He cleansed and washed away my past sins, my present sins, and my tomorrow sins. And the Lord is one who will wash away everything you've ever done contrary to righteousness and holiness. And He will give you a seat at the table and be part of the family. So I trust and hope that everyone's saved and knows Jesus. But if not, let this morning be the morning that you come and give your heart and life to Him. And I've been saved for, I believe, around 16 years now. And it's hard to believe it's been that long. That's long to me anyways. I know there's some here that's been saved for really lengthy, long periods of time, but there's never been a moment, no matter how dark a valley has been, no matter the situation, there's never been a moment where I've been sorry that I trusted His name. There's never been a time where I said, you know what, I wish that I never gotten saved. Never been a time like that. Because truly, when someone comes to Jesus for salvation, you will meet someone who will stay by you, will give you what you need in your hour of distress, will give you a joy that on a Monday afternoon, there's nothing going on, there's work all week, but you find yourself perfectly content. Why is that? Because that's the joy of Jesus. David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Somebody said, what does that mean? Well, that means a lot of things. I shall not be in want. I shall not want. Lord is your shepherd and you invite him in your heart. He's all that you need and you're perfectly satisfied. So we praise the Lord this morning. I do want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. And it's a wonderful day today. The sun is shining and the Lord's here as he always is. I do want to acknowledge any visitors that we may have. If this is your first time with us, could you be kind enough just to slip your hand up if this is your first time with us this morning at Calvary? Okay, it's good to see everybody has been here before. We do have some visiting with us, and you are our special guest this morning. And this morning we just want to worship the Lord, see what he might have for us. And that's what Sunday is all about. It's a day of rest, and it's a day of receiving what the Lord has for you and I. Let me mention a few prayer requests, and then we're going to pray and turn it back over to Brother Allen. Please pray for Shirley Townsend. She had a PET scan on this past Friday, and I asked her, I said, do you want me to verbalize and commercialize this? And she said yes, and so they found three spots, I believe one on her lung, and I can't recall the other two, maybe on her, I don't want to call it somewhere where it's not, but anyway, she has three spots, and she went Friday for a PET scan. So you pray for her. Pray for Brother James as well, as he's struggling from day to day to breathe and his oxygen levels. And I'm pretty sure they're at home listening. So we love you guys. We're praying for you. Pray for Betty Berry. She's home, of course, undergoing some new things. Brother Allen will tell you more about that in just a moment. But Miss Barbara Ann is home from Powder Springs Nursing Home, I believe. I went by there Friday and spoke with her, and as I did, the nurse came by and said that you're ready to go home. And so I believe actually on Saturday morning she probably went home, I believe it was. Rebecca Ashworth goes Friday for a lumpectomy. You pray for her. Miss Glenda, pray for her and her shoulder. She also had a good report of something else on Friday. We praise the Lord for that. Brother Brian is away preaching this morning. I do believe that's what he told me the other day. And so you pray for Brother Brian as he preaches. Easter is coming. It's just right around the corner. Resurrection Sunday. And so you make sure you bring friends and family to be here. We have a wonderful musical, some songs that we're working on. Brother Allen's doing an excellent job. Of course, he can tell you some about that as well. And just remember those things. Let's pray. And let's ask the Lord to bless the service. I don't know about you, but I want to hear from heaven this morning. I want the Lord to give me direction, and I want to be used of him. So let's pray that the Lord will answer those prayers. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. Thankful, Lord, for a choir who sings with passion and desire, praises unto thee, Lord, music with a message. I thank you for Brother Allen who faithfully stands week in and week out. God, I pray that you'd fill him and thrill him. God, use him mightily. God, touch him as we're getting ready for Easter Sunday. And Lord, we're just thankful for him and his family. We're thankful for all families here at the church. Lord, those that have been going through hardship lately, we do pray, Lord, that you would continually dispose grace upon them. Lord, encourage their hearts. You know who they are. We know who they are. Father, we pray that you would just lead, guide, and direct, oh Lord, be close to them. Father, for those who are getting ready to have surgery, we pray that you would be with them in a mighty way. Be with Miss Rebecca on this coming Friday, Lord, that you would touch her mightily, guide the hands of the doctors. We pray that this mass is contained, which we found out that it is, but it'll stay that way. Lord, for all the other situations, those who are on new grounds in their life where they have to have a tailor-made day and things are going to be different. We pray for them. Lord, I just want to thank you for my church this morning. Such a lighthouse in this community. Lord, down through the years, it's been a great, great witness. Let it continue to be. Lord, help us continue to see the value, not only in going to church and living for Jesus. We know, Lord, that's most valuable, but the value of Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. This is a ministry to be continued and lived out. We take great, Lord, value in that. We love you. We thank you. Be with us in a mighty way today. And we'll return the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the next few weeks, we want to try our best to try and put our minds and our thoughts toward the celebration of the resurrection. Aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to leave everything and come to nothing? And the way I look at it is he came to die for a nobody like me. Lost and undone in my sins. I was thinking about what Pastor said, and I had to sit there and count back the years. I've been a Christian for 42 years. I know, looking at me, you don't even think I am 42. I understand. I have been a member of the family of God for 42 years. That's a long time to be a child of God, and I'm thankful. And I'm like Pastor. There's not ever been a time when I thought, Lord, why in the world did you save me? I wish I had never accepted you. Never has there been that thought. I am so thankful for that. Been a lot of times, Brother Johnny, I've wondered why he would save me, knowing me. But I am thankful to be a child of the King. And for the next few weeks, we want to celebrate the resurrection. And I thought of the song that says, I heard an old, old story, how that a Savior came from glory, and how he gave his life's blood. So would you stand with me and turn over to page number 120 if you need it. And I want you just to think back. If you can remember the time when the Lord saved you, and let's sing about the victory that you have in Jesus this morning. Seated. Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know about over here in Powder Springs, but well, we had some storms last night in Douglasville. And when it wakes me up, friend, it's storming. Amen. Came through a couple of rounds of it, and so we didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night. So if you've got your eyeballs propped open, to try to keep them open through the pastor's message this morning. Amen. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. The sun's shining, and a beautiful day that the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. And if you're visiting with us, you are our special guest today here at Calvary. Thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. Please remember all of the prayer requests, and we have many this morning, but I do ask that you please remember Miss Betty in prayer. It's been a pretty rough week for her and for the family as well. So if you would, just remember her in prayer. I know she'd surely appreciate that. Terry and Sherry would sure appreciate your prayers as well. So please just remember us. We'd that would be very gracious if you just remember us in prayer. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them for you after church. But she would surely just like to tell you that she misses you this morning, and she's going to try her best to get back into the house of the Lord next week. So please remember her in prayer. Yes. She is at home. She is at her house, and kind of off and on. We go get her some, bring her to our house some, but at this time she is at her house. And if you want to send her a card, you can send it to us, and we get those to her very quickly. We've taken some down this week, and I thank you for all the cards and all the calls and all the prayers, and she really appreciates those. And we've got her all those cards all down there. She has them all that you sent this week, and we thank you very, very much for that. Also, please remember choir today at 5. We are coming a little ahead to work on some things at 4. And we'd sure appreciate your prayers concerning our Easter drama. And we're very excited about that. And we'll tell you a little bit about that in the next couple of weeks to come, because Easter is right around the corner. Amen. With that said, we really need your prayers because it is upon us here. But God knows all about it, and He knows what we need, so just please remember us in prayer. It's good to see Brother Charlie with us this morning, and he's gone through some things in the past couple of weeks. Great to have him back in the house of the Lord. And we just thank God for His goodness. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
He's worthy of our praise, and I thank Him for being with my grandson Carter this week. He had a little episode done this week, and we're thankful for God's goodness. And little Carter jumped up. Man and them were all worried about getting him back into the room. Carter stood up like Superman, went walking back there, didn't even know Mom and Dad was in the house. Yeah, walked right on back in there and had that procedure done and came walking back out. But that's God, amen, and because of your prayers, and we're thankful for that. And we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? We serve an awesome, loving God. We're going to sing about that here in a few minutes, so you'll be much in prayer for Brother Randy. And please remember CJ, he's at home on the couch. Unfortunately, he has type A flu. Seems to be going through our family, so you pray for the rest of the family. But he's quarantined to the couch with Lysol. Yes. There is a sign-up sheet. Please don't forget about that on the Book of the Revelation. Please don't forget that. Also, Brother Jack's family in prayer. His uncle went home to be with the Lord this week, so please remember him in prayer. We have many, many prayer requests, and we just pray the Lord would be with each one. And please be back here tonight at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7. Try to be in the house of the Lord. In a time such as this, we need more time with Him, not less. Amen. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us and bless the offering this morning, both the gift and the giver. It's great to see you here today. And Father, we love you and praise you, and we thank you most of all for your presence in this place. Lord, if you're not here, we may as well not even turn on the lights and open the doors. But, Lord, you are here, and we feel your presence, Lord. We feel the presence of the sweet Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you just, Lord, show up today in power. And, Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us, Lord. In a few moments, our pastor's going to open your word. And, Lord, I pray that you would speak through him, Lord. And may our hearts and our minds be open to receive what you have for us today. Lord, I pray that you'd be at the choir as we sing in a few moments. And Lord, I pray that you'd accept our worship and our praise. And Lord, may it speak to our hearts and maybe just touch our hearts and draw us closer to you today. Lord, prepare us, Lord, for worship in your house. Lord, you've heard many prayer requests in this place already today, and Lord, surely there'll probably be others. Lord, some that we may have not even spoken, and sometimes those are the dearest to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you just be with each one, and Lord, it's amazing how you can touch each one. Even though we may forget, Lord, we're thankful that you never do. Lord, you are always on time. You're in charge. You're in control. You're the great physician. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, many have needs here in this place today. And Lord, some have come this way and Lord, just stand in need of just a touch from heaven today. Lord, we're asking you, Lord, just to touch us, draw us closer to you. Give us a great day today in your house. Save someone would be our prayer. Lord, if they don't know you, may this be the day they'd come to know you as the Lord and Savior of their life. That when they leave this place, they'll be able to say, wow, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I'm glad to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I pray that you would just accept our worship and praise and get glory out of the service. Touch the offering now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, you see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. In your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sin. Yes, it's true, there've been days when I failed you. Lord, you know that there's been times I've gone astray, but I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see, other friends have never been as close to me. See, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed. My sin, 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 my sin,
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
2 weeks ago, our daughter went out to Social Security. We spent 3 hours, and she was going to put in for disability. Before we left, the man was crying. He couldn't even finish waiting on her. He turned it over to another lady, and she walked up and off and said, "You've been approved." Well, the next day, as they told her, she said, "Why?"
Amen. Right.
Reaching out. And that's something that Randy just, I thought, well, I was going to be just really going against God's will if I don't praise Him for how awesome He is to us. And I'm just thankful this morning that we're still going to go through some things. But she said she's not terminal, so.
Amen. Appreciate that word this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Genesis 37 this morning. Looked like my glass stuck to my coaster. Thought the rapture occurred. Genesis 37, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read two verses, verse number 18 and verse number 19, just after we pray. Genesis 37, 18 and 19. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the testimony, Lord, that you give peace when there is no peace. Lord, and we love the Palmer family and Miss Sharon and her husband. And Father, we walk through this with them and encourage them. But Lord, sometimes we get inspired off of those that are walking through it, about that peace and about the dedication and consistency, Lord, that you're to maintain, not giving up. I thank you, Lord, for that testimony, how it encouraged me. I pray for the next few moments, Lord, you would use your word and let it be light to someone, let it be life to someone. If anyone is questioning your will or at an intersection in life where they need direction, I pray this message will help. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Book of Genesis, chapter number 37 this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18. Genesis 37, verse number 18. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Many of you have studied the life of Joseph and have heard much teaching and preaching about the life of Joseph. And so we're familiar, I'm sure, the majority is, with some things that took place in his life. The story of Joseph is a story where everyone can insert their life experiences along with Joseph, because we all know what it's like to be up and we know what it's like to be down. We know what it's like for to have dreams in our hands and for those to be shattered dreams. I appreciate the story of Joseph and how that time and time again you read that the Lord was with him. You see, the Lord was with Joseph even when he was running errands for his father and checking on his brothers. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him when he was stripped of his raiment, his coat of many colors, and thrown down in that deep, dark, waterless pit. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him when he was sold into slavery and then ended up in Pharaoh's court under the hand of Potiphar. The Lord was with him. And it's a joy to know that, and again I'll say, as I said as we opened up church this morning, it's a joy to know and the realization that the Lord is always with us, whether we're up, whether we're down, whether we're in, and whether we're at in or out, the Lord is with us. You know the end of the story, how that Joseph was exalted, and he was put in position of supremacy. And Joseph made a statement at the end of the book of Genesis, and that was that ye intended the things that you did for evil, but God meant them for good. And I want to say this morning that a lot of things happen in life. We don't understand everything. But you know, we don't have to understand everything. In fact, Proverbs chapter number 3, and I quote it often, verse number 4 and 5 talks about trusting in the Lord and leaning not unto thine own understanding. You see, that's the part is where we start to come apart when we try to lean on our own understanding. And we try to figure out, why are we in a pit? Why are we in this cold, dark, damp place in life? All we've tried to do is serve the Lord. We have to learn how to lean on Him and not to lean on us. Because I believe, and as we're going to see this morning, at least in a couple chapters, that God had a plan for Joseph. Joseph was, again, he was a baby brother. He had 11 brothers, and he was the baby of the family. And Joseph was a man that had passion, and he had desire, and he had drive in his life. He dreamed dreams. And Joseph's passion and desire led him to be faithful in the positions that his father gave him. Joseph's desire and passion was to simply occupy the positions that his dad gave him. And he did that faithfully. He occupied that position and of overseeing or attending to his brothers. He occupied that. He was faithful at doing that. But then he had a dream. And this morning, as we look at this dream, or at least look at the life of Joseph concerning this dream, I want to mention some things that took place within his life about the time that he had this dream. I want to say that this morning, when we serve the Lord and we're faithful in the small things, when we occupy the positions that He has opened doors to, sometimes God will promote. Sometimes God will give us passion and desire and zeal, and He will enlighten areas and excite us, possibly, of areas He wants us to serve in. It could be a job somewhere in the secular world, and because you've been sold out to Jesus and because you've been serving Him, now you're having aspirations and desires to do something different with your secular job. It could be a ministry. It can be several things. It could be desires for a loved one that's been distant from God. You could have dreams and aspirations for them getting back right with God. It can be several things that you aspire this morning. And I want to say that as we serve Jesus and we're faithful in the areas that He has put us in, God will give you dreams. God will enlarge your territory. God will speak to you, and He will give you passion and zeal. And that's how we gauge how God is moving. It says in the book of Philippians that it is the Lord that wills and gives us a desire to do of His good pleasure. It's God that motivates, and it's God that moves, and it's God that allows our wheels to turn, so to speak, mentally, and then within our hearts to burn. This morning, what is it that God is calling you to do? What is it this morning that you've been faithful in, and you've been at it for so long now? Maybe you're thinking about quitting that, or maybe you're thinking about giving up that. Maybe you've just been serving faithfully down through the years, and now you feel that there's something else you want to do. Let me say this. No matter what your age is, don't stop dreaming. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. If you are breathing and walking and you're able to open your eyes in the morning and take breath, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop living. Don't be held back. Many times you'll find out that when we're faithful in the little things, as Joseph was faithful, tending to his brother and checking on their estate and where they were at from time to time, Joseph started dreaming. I want to talk to you this morning on that very subject, Joseph the dreamer. Nothing new. It's been preached for years. I believe it's the message for the hour this morning. Number one, I want us to look at the person of the dream. We know the person of the dream was Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob. And I want to say first of all about this person of the dream. If you look in verse number 2, you'll see that he longed for righteousness. The person of the dream was Joseph, and Joseph was a man who longed for righteousness. He longed for accountability. He was upright and of good character. Notice what he says in chapter 37, verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Listen to this. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Some people say that Joseph was a tattletale. He was a teacher's pet. Oh, I'm going back home to daddy now, and I want to tell what the brothers have done, and you know, and all of the time they're wasting and all the evilness they're doing. But you know, I tend to think that it had more to do with the kind of character he had as opposed to being a tattletale. Some say that the things that Joseph witnessed, that his brothers were doing, so that he went back to tell his dad, possibly, his brothers were not being productive on the clock. They weren't being productive. And Joseph seen that and knew there was much work to be done. So he saw what he saw, and he brought that report back to his dad. It wasn't a good report. It was an evil report in the sense that there was a lack of productivity if that was the case. Others said that possibly Joseph, when he went to visit with them, that their brothers or his brothers was eating a live animal, detaching a lamb limb by limb, and while it was still alive was eating it. And that was forbidden, and that was sin in the Old Testament. I don't know what the situation was, but Joseph was a man who felt like that he should tell his father that they weren't being faithful. Joseph, I believe, was a man who was upright and he longed for righteousness. Can I say that the people of God ought to be that way? And a true child of God is one that will not pacify sin. A true child of God, and listen, no matter what the situation is, it's easier preached than lived, I know. But a child of God will not pacify sin. They will not give alibis for others. But a child of God who has Jesus in their heart, they will take it and take it and take it. And there ought to be, and there is, a longing for righteousness. Sometimes we try to pray for people, and prayer is very important. It's primary on the scale of our relationship with the Lord. But there's times where those prayers, they're offered up and they're offered up, and we believe in God's own time and He'll do what He wants to with those prayers concerning a people, a person, place, or thing. But then there's some times where you just have to exercise and show your love of righteousness. In other words, tell them like it is. Joseph didn't like what they were doing on the clock. They were either dozing on the clock, they were being unproductive, they were doing some kind of evilness when it comes to eating a live animal. We don't know. But we do know that the person of this dream was Joseph, and he longed for righteousness. The Bible says, Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Notice the second thing. In verse number 3, we see that Joseph was loved of his father. In verse 3, the Bible says, now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. Now that's not right, if you read what's on the surface as it is, that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Because I want to say that sometimes in households, when a blended family comes together, there is seen evidently in the children's behavior that some are loved more than others, and that's not right. Sometimes you'll find in households like that where there's blended families that a mother will despise a child because she's looking to the eyes of a child from a previous wife of her husband. Well, you're not my child. You know, you were from your mother and not from me. And so the words that are used here are tough words, but I believe that the reason why it's labeled this way and said this way, because it gives reference to Rachel. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And if you remember who Rachel was the love of Jacob's life. It was Rachel that when Jacob went to Laban's country and his farm and his field, he seen Rachel. And he wanted Rachel. But Rachel wasn't the firstborn. Leah was. And so he had to spend 7 years working on the field and being Laban's, basically, servant for Rachel. And so we know that Rachel was the love of his life. And Joseph was product of Rachel and Jacob. And the Bible says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Not only that, because it was from Rachel, Joseph was, but it was his last son. It was the baby boy. But nonetheless, that Joseph was loved of his father. You and I this morning, we're loved of our father. If you have trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, He loves you more than anybody. And guess what? He'll go to the other one and say, I love you more than anybody. And I love you more than anybody. And the reason for that is because He all loves us the same. Joseph was loved of his father. And Joseph longed for righteousness. But then notice in verse number 13, if you would, we see that, speaking of Joseph, he looked beyond ridicule. The moment Joseph began to speak of his dream, his brothers started to despise him and hate him. Yet they hated him more because of the dream, and they hated him more, and he had a second dream. And then if you look down in verse number 13, we see an element of Joseph's character where you don't see much of that anymore. In verse number 13, notice what the Bible says. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send unto thee, or I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. You say, what has that got to do with anything? Well, if you notice, the hatred began in verse number 4. And then in verse number 5, we see the word hated again. Verse number 8, the word hated. In verse number 11, there's the word envied. And his brethren envied him. And then verse number 13, Joseph had every right to turn and go the other way. Well, Dad, you just don't know what they did to me. Dad, you just don't know how they're despising me because I'm the baby of the family, and you just don't know how they're despising me and they hate me, and it's turning to envy and jealousy. They can't even look at me and deal with me peaceably. Many of us, when times get like that, we use that as a crutch to just turn around and go the other way and forsake a job, forsake a ministry, forsake a family member, forsake something. But Joseph wasn't that kind of guy. Joseph was a man who looked beyond ridicule. Because the Bible says in verse 13, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And so Jacob fully was aware of the situation. It was all in the family. And Jacob is asking him where his brethren are at. Go attend to them. And Joseph said, here am I. Would we do that? I mean, when we're hated and despised and rejected, would we still obey the Lord? Would we still walk in on Mondays at that job where you're despised, you're hated, you're rejected, if we knew it was God's will? Would we continue in that ministry if nobody praised you, if nobody said anything good to you? Would you continue in that ministry if you knew it was God's will? Joseph was that man. And we're talking about the person of the dream. It was Joseph. He was a man who looked beyond ridicule. And it would be good for you and I today to just dig in our heels and say, you know what? I've searched and I've examined my heart, and I know God wants me here. I know God wants me at Calvary. I know God wants me on whatever secular job you may be at. I know God wants me dealing with this situation. I know God wants my hand in that situation. What we need to do is just dig in our heels and say that I've searched and I've examined, and God wants me here. God wants me serving in this capacity. He wants me helping in that person's life. And then when ridicule comes, just push back. Say, I know God wants me here. I know God wants me serving here. I know God wants to use us for this specific situation. Listen, ridicule will come. It's not if it will come, but it's when it will come. If you do anything for the Lord, ridicule will come. Critique will come. Ridicule will come. and all of these other things that follow those components will come. But Joseph said, "Here am I. Here am I, Father." And so we see that he longed for righteousness. He looked beyond ridicule. He was loved by his father. But then look in verse number 19. We see that he was labeled from others. Verse 19 says, "And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh." Now they have a label attached to Joseph's name. He's called Joseph the Dreamer. Look at him coming. There is Joseph. He's the one that daydreams. He's the one that night dreams. There's Joseph, the one with the robe, and there's the one who thinks he's more righteous than everybody. Look at him. There's Joseph, the dreamer. It was the same Joseph that his brothers began to despise and to reject, started to hate him and envy him. He's now called the dreamer. And on top of all of that, when they're calling him this dreamer and they see him coming and they're despising him and they hate him, they're basically saying, this guy thinks he's getting somewhere in life. This guy thinks that he's going somewhere in life. He's a dreamer. He says he's going to be supreme one day. He's talking about sheaves and he's talking about all of these things, sun and moon and stars. What is he talking about? He's lost his mind. He's just a dreamer. He's not going nowhere in life. He may have these passions and desires, but he's not going nowhere. To say that if anybody labels me a dreamer, go ahead and label me that. If anybody labels you a dreamer, go ahead and let them label you that, because it's evident that you're trying and they're not. So you keep dreaming like Joseph was dreaming, and you keep having passions and aspirations and desires to do something in life, and you let the critiquers stay over here talking and gabbing endless hours of naysaying. Oh, they'll never be anything. They'll never amount to anything. Listen, I had a person come to me, I believe it was right after I got saved, and said, "I don't care if you got saved, you'll never be anything." Hey, I'm not the president this morning, near what I want to be. I'm not the president. I'm not on TV. I'm nobody. But I want to say one thing, and this is true, that I'm a preacher of God's word. I'm a pastor of his church. I have a wonderful family, and it was all by the amazing hand of God. And so what I say this morning is, be careful who you'll say won't amount to anything. It's good to dream. It's good to have passion. It's good to have desire, some internal fortitude, some spiritual grit to do something and not sit around like a lot of people and just living on the couch. We see the person of the dream. But then number two, I want you to notice the particulars of the dream. The particulars. What did the dream consist of? Looking, if you would, at verse number 6 and 7. He said, "And he said unto him, Here I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." If you go down in verse number 9, this dream has a second part to it. "And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." We see that, first of all, there was a visual when it came to the particulars of this dream. In verse number 7, he dreamed of sheaves being binded in the field. And he said to his brothers that your sheaf bowed to my sheaf and made obeisance or homage or worship my sheep. Then in verse number 9, we see that a sun was involved and moon and stars were involved. It said that they all bowed to him as well. And then we see that Jacob questioned his dream. We know that the sun is referenced to Jacob and the moon is referenced to Rachel. And we know that the 11 stars are referenced to the brothers. But there's a reason why the sheaves were mentioned first in the first dream. And that's because the brothers came to where Jacob was, or Joseph was, the first time. And then the second dream had to do with Jacob coming to where Joseph was. And so the visual of the dream had to do with sheaves being bound. Had to do with the sun and moon and stars. But then there were variables in this dream. There were variables. What do you mean variables? Overall, the fulfillment of the dream was hazy. I mean, when Joseph dreamed in verse 7, he seen sheaves. And his brothers were bowing to his sheaf. In verse number 9, the sun, the moon, the stars. Well, he knew it was some kind of supremacy position, and he knew he was going to be worshipped, but it was hazy. It was a hazy dream. And this was one of the particulars about this dream. There was the visual part, what he saw, but then the variable part, and that was, it was hazy. All Joseph knew was some sort of supremacy was coming in his life. It was hazy. I say that sometimes in life when God speaks to us, he gives us these wooings and drawings from within, and he compels us, and he gives us dreams and desires and aspirations, and we don't know exactly what we'll do. We don't know exactly where we'll go. All we know is we have something on the inside compelling us to do something. And that was Joseph. He dreamed, and he had a visual dream of all of these things taking place. And then the dream was variable. It was just hazy. It was something to do with leadership, but he couldn't put his finger on it. I'll tell you why it was hazy this morning. This dream was hazy because there was some preconditioning involved. The Lord wasn't going to show him a vivid dream of who he would be after the pit and after the palace. Because Joseph is human and he may have gotten swelled up with pride, but he did give him just enough dream to go after something. You and I this morning, we're sitting here and we're serving the Lord and we're doing our very best to serve Him and praise Him from day to day and pray and maintain a right relationship with Him. We try to be faithful in these small things, bigger things, and biggest things, however you want to put it, whatever area we try to be faithful in. And then God gives us some desires on the inside because we've been faithful. We don't know what these are. We can't necessarily put a finger on what and how God is moving in our life, but we know He is moving. And the reason why these dreams sometimes in our life are hazy is because God uses that particular passion to drive you, to get you going. And then comes the preconditioning. There was preconditioning involved. Joseph had to experience some things before he could experience the role of being the leader in all of Egypt. Before this dream could be totally fulfilled, Joseph had to taste the pit. Joseph had to be betrayed. Joseph had to be lied on. Joseph had to be in situations where he knew or he would future know how to handle things. You and I this morning serving the Lord, and God gives us desires and God gives us dreams and goals and aspirations. We don't know exactly what He wants us to do. But we do know He's doing something. He is working slowly. With all the things going on in your life and all the things going on in my life, they're not just going on. Someone has set it in motion. Someone is pushing us to the overall goal place that the Lord would have us in our life. And sometimes it takes a pit. And sometimes it takes some pain. And sometimes it takes your best friend turning their back on you and them, and you thinking they're one thing and they're something else. Sometimes you got to have a broken heart. Sometimes the Lord works in these ways because He is preconditioning us to live out a dream that He has placed within our hearts. So we see some particulars here. It was hazy. The sheaves and the sun and the moon and the stars. Well, it was something to do with supremacy. It was something to do with worship, but He didn't fully know. I want to let everyone know this morning, if God is moving in your heart, whatever it is, wherever you're at in life, if God is moving in your life, whatever stage you're at in life, if you belong to Him, it's all part of your story. It's part of the story that's being written in your life. And I don't know what the future holds for you, and I don't know what the future holds for me, but there's one thing about it. We know that Jesus holds the future, and we can trust Him with the story. I want to say this. You're here this morning, and the story's not over yet. The story is not over yet. And because of that, I say, keep dreaming. Keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. When people try to resist you, turn your back on them. Say, I'm praying for you, and I'm going to church. Don't let the devil get you out of church. Don't let the devil get you on drugs. Don't let the devil get you on alcohol. Keep pursuing your dreams because it's the Lord that has given it to you. If we stop, my wife and I and my daughter, if we stop pursuing ministry every time we found something out or every time we were offended, we would have quit a long time ago. We would have quit at least 16 years ago. But the truth of the matter is, we've entrusted the Lord with our life. And if we're walking the best we can in accordance with His will, anything, and I mean anything that comes into our life is first filtered through the hands of God. And so if pain comes, it's part of the story. If rebellion comes from others and we find out that someone isn't what they said they were, it's part of the story. Someone said one time, oh, Justin, how long you been at Calvary? I said, you know, not a year yet officially. They said, you'll learn. Talking about church life in general. I said, I've already learned. This ain't my first go around. Listen, when things happen in church and people break your heart, that doesn't catch me unaware. Because my heart's already been broken. But guess what? It's healed this morning. And it's tougher and it's stronger. And I know the nature of the ministry. And listen, nobody's going to take our dream away from us. Don't let nobody take your dream away from you. Let them that hurt, let them hurt. Tell them about Jesus. Those who betray you, be faithful to them. Do everything opposite to them that they're doing to you. It's all part of the story. And so we see Joseph with variables. It's a hazy dream. The reason for that is because there was some preconditioning involved. Now, that leads me to my third point. And I got to make a decision if I want to finish this tonight or not. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. The particulars of the dream, the person of the dream, but then the problem of the dream. In verse number 8, there was a voice of negativity present. What he says in verse number 8, this is after Joseph had told him the dream, the first dream. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. They couldn't be happy for baby brother, could they? They couldn't be happy for him. They couldn't be happy that baby brother is having some dreams and some aspirations in life and he wants to go somewhere with his life. They couldn't be happy for baby brother. But you know, this voice of negativity was first started and is presently, at this particular time, it was presently motivated out of bitterness and hate. They couldn't be happy for baby brother in his dream. They couldn't be happy for Joseph in his dream. And the reason for that is because they're motivated out of bitterness and hate. If you notice, let's read verse number 1. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So number 1, Joseph was righteous. They didn't like that. Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. They didn't like his coat. They didn't like his righteousness. And of course, the love that was portrayed affected them in a very negative way. And so now there's this bitterness and this hate for Joseph. Verse 4 says this, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And so when Joseph told the dream, they just hated him more. And Joseph said, oh yeah, by the way, in this dream, you're bowing down to me. Oh, hey, Dad, Jacob, I had another dream, and the sun, the moon, the 11 stars, everybody in the family is bowed down to me. Listen, this is just a dream that I had. I'm not saying it's going to happen. And his brothers just hated him. And his father actually rebuked him in verse number 10, but laid up the dream in his head and thought about it. Could this be? And so we see that the problem of the dream was voices of negativity. They couldn't be happy for him and get over these things as adults should get over things and get over it and all, but they couldn't be happy for him. They had to be negative. They couldn't just encourage baby brother, but they had to exemplify jealousy and envy, and they couldn't speak peaceably unto him. The voice of negativity was motivated out of bitterness and hate. They hated Joseph because he was righteous and had a coat of many colors. Sometimes in life when we follow the Lord and we do His will, we do His work and we want to do more and we're being compelled from the inside out, a lot of people sometimes are very negative about that. Could it be because they're sinking in their dreams and they're sinking in their life? It's a good possibility. If you have dreams this morning, you keep pursuing those dreams in spite of the problems that accompany the voices of negativity, the hatred sometimes that's exemplified or shown, and then the envy. Sometimes people won't even speak to you and you feel like you're going through the best season of your life. You ever witnessed that before? In verse 4 it says, they could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph was doing good and his brothers wouldn't even speak to him. Sometimes things is that along those lines follow such passions in life. Let's stop there this morning. If they want to come with a verse of invitation, I feel like we ought to give an altar call at this time. And Joseph the dreamer, he was a righteous person. Joseph had a dream, and the particulars had to do with some visuals. Had to do with some variables as well. Wasn't really sure what was happening or what would happen. And of course, we see the problem. The problem was negativity was all around him. His only motivation was the Lord, and he kept on going. And my word to you this morning is keep on dreaming, keep on aspiring, and let the Lord motivate you in spite of what anybody else says or does. Jesus died for you, and man didn't. Tonight, Lord willing, we may have one more thing to mention. Well, it just depends on what the Lord has for us. We'll go in that direction. Let's stand to our feet with a verse of invitation.